Hello, good day, and welcome to the Point 99 podcast. As always, I'm your host, Mr. Steve, and this is episode number 7 of season 5. After my initial doubts about how the setting and background hubbub of last week's interview would go down, I have to say it's been pretty positive so far in feedback. I perhaps wouldn't be rushing back to that particular Starbucks to host another in-person chat anytime soon, but it is always nice to try something new, all the while meeting some fabulous people, just like Fran, for the very first time. This week, we are doing something that we've only done a couple of times during the show's history, and we're taking our interviews international. Unlike our previous guests, it's not a return to our distant cousins on US shores, but more local to the UK with an expat in Eastern Europe. I will get around to introducing and chatting to this phenomenal chap very soon, but first we need to do our intro, as well as a whistle-stop tour of not only my running over the past week, but also my observations and shout-outs from within the scope of my social media vision. First off, and for anyone who might not know, or who just loves hearing me belt this out each week, the Point 99 podcast is a running podcast for all runners of all abilities, but especially the everyday runners out there like you and I, and of course today's guest. I will admit that the show's name doesn't initially give the association away unless you're a Strava nerd like me, but eventually you will fall into the Point 99 club on one run or another. The purpose of the 99 is to try and help you along whatever path your journey is taking. That might be through relatable guests that we feature weekly, their unique stories, and shared experiences or lessons that we all eventually learn during our own journeys. At least by sharing them with you before you experience them, you might be able to avoid making the same mistakes that we make. The 99's biggest goal is and has always been to demonstrate that we are all more alike than we sometimes think, and that through shared conversation, we can all improve as not only runners, but hopefully as more rounded individuals in our everyday lives as well. So to kick things off, my own running, well, it's been a very busy week this past week. You can probably tell from the sound of my voice in the recording. It's late in the week. It's been very tough, but that comes with the territory for what I do. Covered it a little bit in the last couple of episodes. It has been a mixed bag when it comes to running. I've had a great Zone 2 17 miler ticked off on Sunday, where I headed off into the wilds of the Highlands to be alone with myself, just listening to the body and just focusing on a nice, steady, sexy pace, as they call it, run. On the flip side, the rest of my running week has been a little bit sporadic or non-existent. To this point, it's been non-existent, but I am hoping, fingers crossed, I might be able to get out for a run just after this episode goes live on Friday today. But at the moment, there's not been any running. There's just not been any time for it. It's a lot of overtime, a lot of work to be done. And I've just generally been floored. And it's okay. That's fine. It's okay for us to sometimes take a little bit of a break. Not ideal to go full stop, but I'll get back out at some point and help get the training back in full swing ahead of the 24. As I say, it won't, or at least I hope it won't, seriously affect my training for the Loch Ness 24, but it does mean a few lower mileage weeks are potentially on the cards this week, next week, etc. And it's just something I've got to live with. Elsewhere in the community, though, it's been a great week for longer format fans, with a couple of ultra champions, marathon marvels, as well as some slightly shorter distance lovelies and some social running smilers. It would be wrong of me not to start with the man who puts in such an effort into helping this portion of the pod happen, or has in the past when I did put them public, but this week there's not been a public question. It has just been my own observations from my own feed. But yeah, This man has been so good with his weekly shout-outs of appreciation and overall gentlemanly goodness towards others in the community. And it can only be Jimmy Bunter. But this isn't just a shout for Jimmy alone, as the event this legend was smashing at the weekend was one that another, albeit newer face to my feed, but a name already previously mentioned on the pod, as you can guess, shouted out by Jimmy, and an already legendary figure forming in my eyes, joined him at the same event. It was Stevie McKenna, better known as 100kg to 100km. Both Jimmy and Stevie put in spectacular performances at the GB Ultras Scotland 50 at the weekend. I've somewhat stayed clear of both gents' DMs wherever I could, not because I didn't want to get in there and congratulate them as they deservingly should have been, but I appreciate how hectic their inboxes will be right now and how supportive others in the community will be to raise them up and help them celebrate their victories. They're actually both going to be on the Insta Runners Roundup podcast for their next episode, which comes out, I think, on Monday or Tuesday. So, yeah, remember to go and check that out, like I've shouted out a few times as well over the past couple of episodes. It is important to give them the deserving shout out to highlight the spectacular achievement they've both smashed at the weekend, both grabbing a gold for their amazing efforts. I personally loved following Stevie's story, having the ability to follow someone and what their experience is, more than just a dot on a GPS tracking website. It's always super eye-opening and insightful. He had great stories, great videos, and just chat to kind of help you feel what he was feeling and just how he was getting on the day. Even Stevie's subsequent post on Transformation Tuesday, I mean, it might just be me, but I loved seeing that one. The clear dedication to a goal to change and an achievement that even fewer of the running community will achieve over and above the 1% club status is just spectacular. But that's not to take away from Jimmy, who even said in the podcast, as I've mentioned just there, he's part of the Insta Runners Roundup podcast, that having a busy life and young family, you sometimes just have to get out there and smash an event like that with less training than you sometimes might like otherwise prefer. It's just one of those things you do if you're in that line of eventing and that particular distance. It's just a clear indication on how driven and strong both these guys are. Stevie did in fact slide into my DMs though to echo the shout out for Jimmy with his phenomenal run. Stevie mentioned that they had the opportunity to get a few minutes running together as James breezed up to him before powering off to bag himself a 24th on the finishing positions. So it's a bravo to both gents. I hope you've been wearing those glorious medals like everywhere you've gone with every outfit you've worn, because it does look like the perfect accessory. A bit big, maybe like the 1980s clocks that particular rapper wore. I can't even remember who that was, but yeah, fantastic posts you've had up. Just absolutely loved seeing everything you guys have said so far, and it'd be great to find out and definitely hear the Insta Runners Roundup podcast, like the in-depth chat that you're gonna no doubt have there. It is also a double header shout out for a pair of marathon smashers from over the weekend. Both Davey, Happy Running Sober, and Helen Running Mum, were out in the sunshine smashing the Strathairn Marathon. So once again, it's a congratulations to these two lovely people doing a superhuman thing, casually knocking out a marathon distance under the sunny Sunday skies. Again though, it is duos, or at least I seem to only be noticing two people at each event so far, or two people that I follow or the algorithm want to share with me. It's a shout out to both Thomas Stewart, TS Runs, and Steph Runs Miles for their efforts at Run the Toon 10K in Kilmarnock. Steph even bagged herself a nice little PB during her efforts, so bravo to you both as well. I'm giving a shout out to previous guest and all-round lovely human being here, Serena Broadway, as she sets off for the Spine Race Challenger South. And she mentioned that on her episode that it was coming up. The event takes place tomorrow, the 15th, for anyone listening on the day of release. She does have her tracker available on her stories, hop on over if you want to see how she's getting on there. So it's all well wishing and positive vibes from myself to Serena as she prepares to set off. I know she'll both have a blast and smash it at the same time, all the while smiling that lovely smile of hers. Finally, we have a group of lovely ladies, a trio of them, and a bearded beauty down at the Good Time Running Club in Edinburgh. Previously mentioned Steph Runs Miles, my fabulous wee friend Guise on the run, and past guest to the show, Elodie Runs Curls and Chocolate Bums, chocolate buns, were all down doing their bit of social running with the Wahey runner, Ian Smith, the man of amazing content and reels. He's also the bearded beauty. It wasn't one of the girls. At this point, I'm also going to shout out the continual social love that the crew at the EH3 Milers are pumping out. Whether it's Uncle Lee with his Thursday night trail type runs where he tries his darndest not to get everyone lost in the Pentlands or on some trail somewhere, or Chris Evans himself, as they always have a place for anyone who wants to pop along and run with some other lovelies. Speaking of lovelies though, and onto this week's guest. I do have a proper gushy intro for this week's chat, especially given how much support this amazing guy has given towards my account over the years. But there's no beating around the bush here. I'll let Tuesday Night Steve take over as we welcome Matt Is Running to the show, Matt Sutcliffe. I'm overjoyed to be joined today by this week's guest. This man has exactly what the podcast was made to share, a great story of everyday running. Like many of us, his journey hasn't been without its obstacles and diversions. Having taken a break from his Instagram squares and from running for a short period to prioritize the things that really matter, family. At the same time, other changes were afoot, like making a significant move to an entirely different country, meaning we are once again going international. But after his absence from running and socials, he's back and once again making huge strides with his running. The change of country only seems to have spurred him into action as well, hitting the ground running to not only explore new tar and trail routes, but show his commitment to daily improvements, smashing goals and setting mega milestones. Personally, it's also a selfish moment of joy, as he's been one of the most supportive and motivational figures for my own account since pretty much day one. Time after time, he's been there to help raise me up and celebrate my successes or hold out a hand to pick me up during my stumbles. He really is a super friendly top bloke of the community with a 10 out of 10 smile. But let's hear from the man himself, from an everyday runner in the UK to a man on a mission in Poland, aiming high and striving for marathon glory. Be it his trials, successes, or goals still to come. Over the next 45 minutes or so, I hope I can raise this legend up and show him a fraction of the support he's shown me over the years. His name is Matt and he is running. So join me in welcoming Matt Is Running to the show, Matt Sutcliffe. Welcome, Matt.
Steve, bring a tear to the eye.
It's all true, my dude. It's all
too
true.
Too kind.
You have 100% been, I know you weren't the first person to follow me, but you've pretty much one of the first, and you've been there throughout a lot of hard times for me, and you've always been the number one guy to help pick me up. So no, I am so happy to have you on today and finally, like you say, put a voice to the face and just get this one ticked off and show the world who Matt is.
Well, hopefully, yeah. Hopefully those viewing figures won't drop down after listening to, like you say, it's an everyday running story and an everyday normal guy.
No, not at all. Everyday stories are what the podcast's about and they go down the best.
No pressure.
I'm so glad. As much as I love my ultra marathon guests, it's nice to have an everyday runner, but also a man that's aiming for the thing that I love the most, marathons. But we'll get to that and how you're getting on and where you're going to be going. But there's no better place to start than at the beginning. So take us back to where it all began for Matt Is Running. Be that before the social account, where it all began. Was it in your school days? Before we hit record, you mentioned something that we've had a couple of our guests talk about. So I'll let you crack on if you can give me the start of where it began, and then we'll draw a line when we get to around about where you did a little bit of a blackout on socials and you're running.
Yeah, how far do we go back? Well, always been sporty back in school. It was football mainly. Football obsessed. And it was 5, 6, 7 days a week, you know, ball at the feet whenever I could. It's not one of those who said, you know, I could have done anything with it. I was a decent enough sort of amateur player. Got injured quite early. A real bad tear of the hamstring. All three parts literally tore straight away. And that was at 17. And never really recovered fully from that. Even now, I still get the odd twinge. But I was really into that. I did a lot with me cross country running. So there was running there from an early stage. And it sort of went off the radar, and fitness in general went off the radar for some time. And then it was really trying to sort of find my place, really find what I wanted to do fitness wise, because it was always there. It was always in the head. But as time went on, there was a stage in my life where it wasn't really, you know, wasn't really doing much with it. The legs felt like they were gone. Went back to football, wasn't working. Then sort of penny drop, really. I thought, you know, you need to do something. You need to get yourself fit. And I'll always remember there's a picture that my other half sent me when we went to Krakow a fair few years ago. And I looked at myself and I thought, no, I don't like that. I don't like the way that looks. And that combined with a number of other things sort of led me to find running. And a few park runs with a good friend of mine, got the bug. And then that was it. And it's just been up until then. It was very inconsistent, a lot of injuries. But just it grew and grew and grew, and there was more and more enjoyment. And that led me to sort of taking it a bit more seriously.
You mentioned before we hit record, there's the mental health side of it. Yep. Was that one of the main strides as well, to get out, to find an outlet for the times and difficulties you were having, and just having that clarity of mind?
Even now, I'd say, I'm a firm believer that even though you can beat mental health problems, mm-hmm. it's always there.
Yeah,
you know, and you've got to learn to manage the brain. It's I think it's the most powerful thing that there is, and you've got to learn to manage it. You can't be naive enough to think that these things can never come back and haunt you again. We touched on it earlier briefly. I went through some pretty tough times, and I probably wasn't the model person. I probably go far as saying I wasn't a good person, and I was really struggling, and I'd hit rock bottom. It's a story I've not really told many people. Only a few people know. But it did get to the stage where I didn't want to carry on, and that was sort of mid-20s. And when you're making a phone call to your mum saying it's time to go, I think you realise that's a pretty bad time. Mm-hmm. But you know, every cloud, as they say, you go through, and I probably should have looked for a bit of help back then, but I went the other way around. You know, I did it all myself, and it might not be the right way to do it. Where I am today is like, it's a completely different person. It's chalk and cheese. And that was all through getting off my backside, you know, and doing something that nobody was ever going to give anything to. You've got, even with the support of family members, you've got to want to do it yourself. And I just think the freedom getting out there and feeling good about yourself. You know, you hear it from so many people. Mental health isn't it's not something new. It's been there for a while, and a lot of people have a similar story to mine. But getting out there and feeling the fresh air and the rain in the UK, not so much here, but in the UK, It works wonders, and I'm such a massive advocate for mental health. I really am, and I think that just getting out there, it really sort of, and I'm pushing my body, I guess, pushing my body, and making me reevaluate things, was a real catalyst for getting back on the horse, you know, and cracking on and turning my life around to where I am now, which is thankfully and luckily a very happy, stable. Stable guy who's got a fantastic family. She might say otherwise, but yeah, very happy guy now.
No, that's really good of you to open up and share that as well, because like you say, it is such a big part of, and I would say the running community as a whole. We've had past guests on open up about mental health. We've focused on a whole season of trying to touch on it with every guest, and especially when it is with younger guys, it's a very difficult subject to a cover, but also letting people know that it's okay to talk about. But then you also mentioned body image and the mixture of all those things. It can be really detrimental to just a person's being to then find not maybe a purpose, but find that running was a savior in some respects for you. And I think when we connected, it was very similar. And you are, like, I've never known you to be anything but like a really friendly, nice guy. Not long after and I've shared this before on the podcast, not long after I started this account, because I don't think we'd connected prior to that on my other account. But when I started this account, I'd lost a very good friend of mine, and you were kind of instrumental into helping me not get over it, because you never do, but to deal with the difficulties I was going through at that time. And then all of a sudden, there was one day that you didn't just vanish, but there was reasons why. You had a very good reason to take a step back, and that was family. And we'll share as much as you're comfortable sharing. Obviously, people have squares for a reason, and they cover a certain aspect of their life. They don't always cover other aspects. But you did then decide to take a hiatus from your running account, but moreover from your running as well. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that as well, and how that might have then also affected, did it affect your mental health at all during that time? Or
Mental health wise, no. I mean, I genuinely feel that I think probably I give away my age. I'm 41 now, and I think I see my life as starting again at round about, you know, 32, 33. It wasn't that a switch flicked, but I got everything in gear, and ever since then, you know, I feel so content and happy. I feel genuinely happy. And people say it's, you know, it's okay to not be okay. And I fully get that. And I fully appreciate that. I've been there, but I do believe as well that it's okay to be okay. And I think it's good to celebrate when you're feeling good. And at no stage throughout that hiatus was there any issues. There was a few family things that we've discussed off camera, a few challenges that we had, me and my partner, some bad news that we had. But all in all, I think the strength I gained from coming through that has allowed me to get through anything else that's been thrown at me ever since. Yeah, a couple of injuries. I'll be honest, I've never been the most strategic runner or planned runner. I'd hit the tarmac, and every park run, I remember every park run, I'd stand there and it was like, how fast can I go? You know, where you put your foot down and go. And the amount of times I pulled up with my calf and injury, and it was stop, 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 start. And you get frustrated with it.
Yeah.
I was getting fed up myself with starting something and stopping. And it's purely because I didn't know enough about my body and about how to run. So I was still running away from the Instagram account, not as frequently as I am now, but I was still doing a few here and there and trying to get back into it, but kept picking up these niggles. And then something else happened. Me and the other half had a fantastic little one, who's now 2 and a half, Luna Rose, and that I needed a break. You know, it's everybody says you make time for the things that matter, and running matters. You know, you've got to make time for it. For me, everything that mattered was my other half and my little
Yeah.
one.
Yeah.
That meant everything to me. So I thought it was best to take a break, but then straight after she was born, it was tried to ease back into it. And my other half actually said to me, she goes, I miss following you on your Instagram. She goes, I like seeing him. I like seeing the post. So she gave me a bit of a, you know, a bit of a kick to get out there again. I think she knows how important it is to me. Running is my therapy, and I genuinely feel that. So it's she gave me a bit of a boost to get back out there.
That also gave her the way I'm thinking about life as well, is it gives your partner a break from you as well, because as much as you're not with each other all the time,
she needs it.
You need a break from time to time, don't you? You need that hour of, while he's off running, I'll do what I need to do, or have a bit of a break. And I do remember now, your Strava account didn't go completely dark at that time. You were doing buggy runs, and I remember seeing those, but like you say, they were intermittent. So it's good to know that it was because old age was setting in. You weren't doing the strength and conditioning that you're meant to do.
Well, I don't do it. Well, that's a worst kept secret. I'm terrible at strength and conditioning. So when I say that I'm learning how to run and look after the body better, take that with a pinch of salt.
So while you're also, while you also had to break from social media, from running, and then getting back into it, and having the little one, you then made a dramatic change in your living situation. You moved countries. How have you found settling into a new country, especially one that maybe doesn't rain as much? From looking at your photos, it always looks glorious where you are.
Yeah, it's lovely. The place is lovely. My partner's from Poland originally, all the family. We were all based in the UK when we met. And things just sort of progressed, really. We had conversations about it, about moving away, and work was always going to be the challenge. And I'm lucky enough, or well, I suppose both ways. I'm lucky enough to have a fantastic employer and a fantastic business that I work for. But at the same time, I've worked hard to make myself an asset to them as a business. So they were, I don't know whether they'd be happy, but they were willing to allow me to come over here and work remotely. So we wanted to come over here. We want to build a house, something for the little one when we're long gone. And above all else, I love a challenge. You know, I didn't speak the language. I still don't speak the language. I'm learning, but it's very, very difficult. Very difficult. Yeah. You know, I'm a really expressionate person, and I rely a lot on the little one-liners and the bits of comedy. And you can't do that when you don't speak the language. You can't do that. When you care, you can't go out and order a coffee. Even the self-service checkouts are difficult. You know, you're looking how to use that. You lose a lot of your independence. But on the flip side, it's a brilliant experience to come over to a country. So many people do it to the UK and have done it to the UK. My partner did. But not many people in the UK go to somewhere where they just don't speak the language. And having the base there with work is fantastic, because I've got me in the office where I am now. You know, it's a lovely setup. So I've got everything that I need. But it is very, very difficult language barrier-wise. But I'm getting there. I'm getting there. About 45 minutes a day learning, I will get there.
There's no better thing than to immerse yourself in, especially a new country, a new culture, to learn the language. How has it been though with Matt? We've had a DM chat about this. How do you find it with the running? Because you're obviously running past people and they're not, you're just going to be wanting to speak English to them, and it's not possible.
Well, I drop it in sometimes, and I'll drop in a couple of English words. If you see a few people, you forget. You know, you're walking along, and you're like, "Hey, you're right." And people look at you, and they think, "You know, what's this?" Because they're not used to it. We're right in the south of Poland. You know, this is Poland. You know, we're not in Krakow, we're not in Warsaw, where you know it's very multicultural, and there's people speaking different language. This is right in the sticks almost. Yeah, I think the runner's nod has been probably the biggest part of my armory over since November when we came over here. and the few words that I've got at the moment. I think it's finding people to run with, which at the moment is difficult. I've always been a solo runner, but at the same time, I don't see that as a bad thing. Back to the sort of the headspace thing, I have never been happier running in a place as when I run here. It's beautiful, and you run into the about 100 meters away, I'm running into the forest, and I go the other way and I'm exploring something that I haven't seen before. Although I tell you a story, we went, there's some lovely trails up in the woods, and went out for a run, and I thought, yeah, I'm going to go find my way up there. So I went into the woods, and I say, Delamere Forest was the closest I've ever been to wildlife, with a squirrel running across. That's the closest I ever got. And now I've got snakes, bears, you name it. So I'm running around there. I do my run, trail run, taking it all in, and then I get back down, and then the other half says to me, there's bears on the loose, not too far down the road. I says, would have been a good idea to tell me before I went rather than when I return. There's definitely some interesting wildlife that you see. You've got to be careful of as well.
Does that put you off now, the idea of running in trails, because there might be venomous snakes and big grizzly bears? Obviously it's black bears, but does that put you off at all?
No. It's I guess it's sort of ignorance is bliss, isn't it, really? I think you've just got to be careful, you know.
Be observant to your surroundings.
Yeah, it's more towards the mountains where the bears are going to be. You know, it is remote here, and it's lovely. You see wild deer running across you when you're running, and it's gorgeous. But you've just got to keep your wits about you, same as anything, really. I don't think the other half's too keen on me going up to the forest. She'd rather me stick to the stick to the pathways. But no, it's not something that I think about. Ask me that again if a message is saying that I've come face to face with a brown bear. So.
As you say, it looks like a really, like, from your photos and following you in Strava, it looks like a gorgeous place to be. But we've had that conversation. You're in the old country. It's pretty much non-existent, and as it should be, the English language doesn't need to take over everywhere. And there is a good part of learning another language. You've done well to come back from effectively no running. I've been admiring the successes that you've had over the last couple of months, I would say, at least weeks. You've done 10Ks, you've done a half marathon, which you did look like you were blowing by the end of. And now you set your sights on what is the pièce de résistance of what I would say true running. How have you felt the return to running? How have you felt the successes so far? And how are you looking forward to ticking that big 1% box?
I started at the beginning of the year. I said I wanted to get faster. I wanted to beat my 5K time. I wanted to beat my 10K time. And I wanted to do an official half marathon. And so all those three were ticked. And it was all dependent on injury, and touch wood, I've stayed injury free, a couple of little niggles here and there. As soon as I've ticked off those three that I wanted to do, I needed something else. I've always wanted to do a marathon. It's something that I've wanted to do. I signed up for the Malaga Marathon in December. And so, tie it in with a family holiday. So the little one and my partner are coming over with her family as well. So we're going to have a week away and make the marathon's on the second day. So I'll be limping around for about 4 days afterwards. It just seems a natural progression, I think, more than anything. I'm very, very self-motivated. I think you've got to be as a solo runner. And I've never been one for... I don't follow any specific training plans from a coach. And I say this to other people that I speak to, and there's nothing wrong with having a coach. You know, coaches, they know what they're talking about. And it's a good investment. It's a sound investment. But part of the fun of running for me is learning. You know, like you learn a new language, you learn a new language to speak to people. Mm-hmm. I I've enjoyed learning about how to manage my body. I've been the different sessions that you can do, when you should run, how long you should run, you know, how you should progress your running, and when you should take a break, all these different things. And I've just been learning and learning and learning. And that's part of the fun for me. So it's not just the running, it's the learning as well. So, and I think that's what's pushed me to go for the marathon, because it's, you know, it's a big one. You've got to respect it, haven't you?
Yeah.
But the mind's already ticking on beyond that. Even now, I'm thinking, you know, how far can I go? You know, what? How can I push my body? How far can I push my body? But
don't tell me you're going ultra, Matt.
Well,
we can't be friends if you go ultra, mate.
Well, there's the time. Let me get through this one first. I don't believe in just getting round as well. And so much credit to anybody who goes and does a marathon, you know. And you'll see yourself on Instagram. Anybody who runs a marathon, you know, they deserve everything that they get.
Yeah.
All the training. They do a 5K, they do a 10K. And you see a lot. I mean, there's a lot of samey stuff on Instagram, you know, and it is what it is, isn't it? But people have their stories, don't they? And then if they do a 5K or a 10K, whatever time, it's such a massive achievement for them. So for me, it's just that's my one, really. That's my holy grail, as it were, at the moment, to hit that marathon. It's not really for show or to say I've done something. It's just I really want to go for it. I want to get a good time, which is in my mind. I know what I want to do.
I'll ask you in the DMs. I'm not going to ask you to
vocalize that. I'll quite happily say I have absolutely no problem at all in telling you what I'm going for, because that gives me that little push of.
Go on then. Go on. You do that, and then as you say, you can listen back and you can go, I said I was going to do that on this day, and I've done it.
Sub four is the first. That's the first one I want to do. I want a three there. I want a three. I don't want a four.
I honestly believe that you can do that as well, Matt, because of the connection I've had with you for, you know, it's been a good number of years now, and seeing your running over the years and the running recently, I think you will 100% get a sub four. Whether or not your legs hold up now, because you're going to have to do strength, you're going to have to do conditioning, you've got a long old road to get to December. But no, I have every belief that you can do that.
The problem is, I say sub four, but there's still that thing in me, because I don't know what my body's capable of. And especially in 6 months, I'm naturally, luckily, quite fit. I think I can do better. And, you know, and I've said that, and I look at it and I think sub four, you know, it's amazing for a lot of people, but do I want to settle for that? But I thought you've got to put something in place, because, you know, I could say 3.5, and do I think my body's capable of that? Yeah, 100%. Given, I really do.
I don't know how familiar you are with previous guests and obviously other podcast hosts. You look at someone like Ryan Miller, and I mentioned him pretty much on a weekly basis at the moment, but he's comparable age to yourself. I think he's comparable height to yourself, and he's very motivationally driven like yourself. The differences are he's a group runner and he has that support network, but you see the times he's doing, and his first marathon we had him on, and he had an eagle, a beagle and a seagull. So like you say, there's nothing wrong with having a 3:30 marathon in your mind as an eagle, because then you can fall back to your beagle, and then your seagull, may that be, the seagull is the kind of final goal. As long as it's sub four, you've got your A, your B, and your C. And no matter what, you're then happy. But there's opportunity there. Your age is still well within beating me, because I'm a 3:45 runner. So
don't think I haven't looked at your personal best, Steve. Don't think I haven't looked at that. One thing I am terrible for, I'm a bit of a lurker when it comes to my Strava. There's people who, you know, friends that I know, people who I've seen for a while. I go through and I have a look, and I have a look at all the Garmin Connect about what their personal bests are.
Yeah.
I think that comes with being a solo runner again. I like to look at somebody and think, oh yeah, I'm going to try and tick you off now, and then do that in the nicest possible way, you know.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree. I 100%. That's how me and Runner Man Steve got going, because we were looking at each other going, I can have him.
Yeah,
and that's a perfectly healthy thing to have. So now go for it. I'll be aiming to beat my PB in October. So you keep that in mind.
Hey, you're on a different level to me, Steve.
Oh, not at all. Not at all. How are you thinking? Yeah, are you thinking about bringing in more of a regime? No, not necessarily a program, not necessarily doing fartleks or intervals. Are you looking at doing a little bit of strength and conditioning, especially with having the history of the hamstring, to try and give yourself the best possible situation for running a marathon? Are you looking at your nutrition, your hydration, and are you looking at super shoes? Because I don't know, actually, I'm not sure what your footwear choices are. So,
yeah, all of the above. I've already got a plan, and I was saying about enjoying the research of it. And I think, I'd say to anybody, you know, if you're an amateur runner like myself, someone who's, you know, not hitting those heights of what many people will be on Instagram, who show you these fantastic times and amazing achievements, you know, have a read and see what you can do. You know, find it out. But part of the fun is that finding what you can do and how you can improve yourself. You don't need somebody to tell you. You know, you can go and you can research, and those little 1%, you know, I come from, my job is about sort of ticking off those 1% and those 2% for improvement. And by doing that, you can get better. So I've already put together my base building at the moment, up until 16 weeks before the marathon. So I'm increasing my mileage now. I've had a couple of lower mileage weeks just to rest up the legs, because I've been at it nonstop since January.
Yeah.
But now I'm gradually increasing that mileage up until 16 weeks. I've written a plan for myself. You know, whether that turns out to be right or whether it turns out to be wrong, time will tell. You know, I'm no running coach, but I do know my body at the moment, and I know, more importantly, I know when to stop at the moment and when to rest. Nutrition wise, living in Poland, it's impossible to stay away from cakes. So that's the biggest challenge.
Cakes and cured meat.
Yeah, that's it. There's so much good food here. And with the fact that my office is in the house, even today, the other half came up with it. It's lovely, comes in with a cup of tea and then two biscuits as well, you know, and it's hard work. But I suppose with running, you can eat more, can't you? That's what they say. So
you will never be hungrier than you will ever be training for a marathon. You'll get sick of eating. You will constantly be hungry, but it is one of the best things you can do. It's one of the best tasks you can set yourself. And that's why I'm on what marathon number 5. I think you'll smash this one. You'll ace it to the point where you go, you know what? I want to get another goal. You'll set an hour marathon, and how many years down the line we'll have you back on, and you'll be 12 marathons deep and still not gone to ultras.
No, that's a big step. But on a serious note, I mean, I think from my running, I feel fitter than ever. I've done, you know, I don't, the hair tells you that I'm 41, but the body definitely does that. I feel fitter than I did in my 20s. I say it's a lot down to running. It's a lot having to run after a 2.5-year-old as well. But I always said I didn't want to be that dad who limped up the stairs after the child when they were 3, 4, 5 years old, who couldn't chase them around the garden, who couldn't, you know, act like a fool. I was thinking, you know, you should act like a toddler. Always act like a toddler, no matter how old you are. And I want to be that toddler running with my toddler. So that's the main reason. Above all the, you know, the self challenges and everything like that I do, I want to be, we're not here for a long time, you know, and I want to be as fit as I possibly can. And I want to spend as many years with my family as I can do. And they say that running a marathon, you know, they say it increases life expectancy because of what it does physiologically to you. And just in general, a healthy heart. You know, my family has a history of heart conditions. So, you know, it's, any way that you can spend more time with your loved ones is, you know, is a blessing.
That's spot on. You've almost underpinned everything that is the best reasons to do anything for. And I can't better that at all. That's such a good way. I think unless there's anything you feel that we should add to, I think that's a great way to almost draw a line under this part of our conversation, and then aim to have you back and find out how you're getting on, or as it will be, how you get on with your big goal.
The viewing figures or the listening figures will tell the story. Let's see if people want to hear a bit more, they're more than welcome. But
definitely. No, that's been spot on, Matt. Honestly, it's been such it is a selfish moment of joy to get you on, because as I say, you've been so instrumental in getting me through some really tough times. I want to now use this platform to help introduce you to more of the community and show them what a top bloke you are, but also that there are everyday runners out there. It's not just super elite flying fast guys like we've had on the in the past. They are still within reach for you or I, but at the same time, you're just, and this is going to sound like an offense in a way, you're just the average Joe doing a run and listening to your body, doing what you can, but also striving for longevity and happiness.
Happiness is the word. Happiness is the word.
Thank you very much for joining me today, especially making the time internationally, although it's only an hour, but still, it's a long day.
It's always lovely to speak to somebody in English. I'm not used to it at the moment. So it's been a long time coming, Steve. It's an absolute pleasure speaking to you. I absolutely love listening to the podcast. And during my time away, you know, I came back, and then you're hitting marathon PBs. You've got a podcast. You're taking over the world. So it's lovely to finally say, put a face to the name, to the voice, and hopefully the first of many conversations that we
hopefully
have.
Fingers crossed, and maybe we'll have someone to do our Polish translations for us.
And there's a nice couple of marathons over in Poland, so I know that Krakow next year, if anybody fancies coming over, you know, that's what I'm already thinking ahead to that one. So
100%, and such a beautiful place to do it as well.
Lovely city and fantastic vodka.
Well, maybe I have to look at that one. Well, all I can do is wish you all the best, my man, and look forward to seeing how you get on with everything. But honestly, anyone is listening, give Matt a follow. Matt, where can they follow you? Before I draw a line under everything, where can they follow your journey?
It's matt.is.running, and I make no apologies for my very basic content. I am not out there to become a world famous influencer. I did say to Steve that I work in marketing, and I put no effort into my Instagram. So if you give me a bit of encouragement, maybe I'll try a little bit harder.
Spot on. Give Matt a follow, show him the love. But no, thank you very much, my friend. And I look forward to having you back soon.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
A long time in the making, but I finally got Matt on the show and loved speaking to him. He really is a friendly, cheery, and welcoming man. We had a great pre and post episode chat. It could have gone for hours, much like a lot of the people I've had on this season. I've just really connected so well with this guy. It was a bit of a whistle-stop tour of his story thus far, but I'm determined to have Matt back on for a future episode to share a little bit more depth of his story with running, but also perhaps how he plans to stay injury-free without any strength and conditioning, like he's mentioned, or do regular little check-ins with him on his road to marathon glory. Give this awesome guy a follow and see for yourself how great he really is. And it might also encourage him to put some of his media skills into action. He has a fantastic pose that he regularly does, but I really want to see what this man can do. Thank you once again to Matt for joining me. It's also a thank you to you guys, the listeners, for joining us today, downloading or streaming the episode. It's always going to be the best way you can support the show, simply by listening. If you'd like to show your physical support for the podcast, you can purchase a t-shirt from our merchandise partners at Twisted Running. You can head over to the Twisted Running website or find a link on our website at thepoint99podcast.com. There's a wee picture of the t-shirt. Click on that. It will take you to the store. The show is also available on all major podcast platforms and on our website via the inbuilt player on the episodes page. You can now also find us on YouTube podcasts or, you, as always, on YouTube, where it's got the fancy graphic that it generates for us. Finally, you can follow us on Instagram by searching The Point 99 Podcast. If you want to get in contact, drop us a DM there or email me at thepoint99podcast@gmail.com. You can also find me at my own account, Mr_Steve_runs, where once again, you can drop me a DM if you want to do that. As always, I can't thank you enough for tuning in today. We seem to have found a little bit of a groove of late, so really, truly thank you to everyone who has been tuning in. Until the next episode, I actually don't know who the guest is for that one yet. I hope you stay safe, enjoy your runs, and you will hear from me soon.